folks. So is on. We're going to go now to the latest from Project Veritas. Daniel Fitzgerald, a State Department official responsible for allocating U.S. foreign aid and bribes across the West, confirms on videotape it's all about ethnic replacement. Let's watch.
There's got to be some things that you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things, but mostly with immigration. I wish people knew that we're letting in criminals daily.
The big issue for the Hill, for our region, is migration. Oh. So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Like how much?
$4 billion over 4 years. But now migrants are coming from out there. Right. Like Venezuela.
Somos de nacionalidad venezolana. Tenemos vuelo para Nueva York.
Entonces, ¿compraste un vuelo con Spirit?
Sí.
40.
Sí, entramos con la cita de CBP One por el puente fronterizo.
So what is the end goal? Why aren't they allowing it?
Truly, they want to change the demographics of the United States. Really...
So our aid goes to female prisons in Mexico.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
To like help train them up.
I'm working with gender issues in Pakistan, so we're trying to recruit, retain, and advance more women in law enforcement. The question becomes, should we be spending U.S. taxpayers' money in our country on this issue? Women that they don't seem to care about.
Secretary Blinken, how close are you to him?
5 degrees separation. This is such a niche industry that flies under the radar,
yeah,
that the average American does not know. Most people don't know what we do.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much to you, Ranking Member Risch, all the members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
He has briefings coming up in 2 weeks.
He has briefings?
Yeah, on the Hill.
About
the FY 2025 budget request. And that's like with all the congressional people. Big issue for the Hill, for our region, is migration.
Oh my.
Help stop migration. What are we doing to stop migration?
He's not accountable for that, is he?
Yeah, we do stuff for it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's called the root causes strategy.
Ooh.
It's giving money to support and help people at where the origins of the migrants are, so they feel like they can stay there instead of migrating out. So it's Central America, basically.
It's what?
It's basically Central America. Like,
right.
Support and development.
Oh.
So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Like, how much?
$4 billion over 4 years.
Oh. Like a lot of money for those places.
It's a lot of money.
Is it doing anything?
I think for them, yes, but now migrants are coming from out there.
Right.
Like Venezuela, so we're like, oh, this would solve that problem.
Oh, no. So what does he say to that? That looks bad for the administration, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it looks bad for any administration. Because no one solves migration. It's like the end-all be-all, like kill pill for politics.
Right. And I feel like if anything, the other side's going to win because of it.
I know. My dad used to complain about that. I'm like, oh, and like in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's not that much. And then I see the chart, I'm like, oh, that's a lot. Like compared to like 20 years ago. I'm like, I'm way they're on to something.
And I don't know what to say to that.
I really don't. I literally don't know.
Like, what would the administration say to that?
I don't know. And like, I sit there too, and I talk with my coworker who like manages the migration for the assistance. And we always talk every time. We're like, I don't know what we do. Like, there's no clear answer.
Do they do things within the foreign affairs department that will have like this money going through these women? I mean, there's got to be some things that you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things, but mostly with immigration, because that's the one that where the left is really controlling immigration. I wish people knew that we're letting in criminals daily. Like when I was in,
you have confirmation of that. You have confirmation.
Oh yeah. So all the good, honest, hardworking Mexicans stay in Mexico, and all the pieces of garbage come to the United States, and those are the ones that we let. We are literally, and the Mexican government has no reason to stop it because their garbage goes through another country and sends money back to them. Like, imagine if the worst of the worst, and all the criminals in the United States were all going to Canada and sending back billions of dollars a year. Why would you stop that? I wouldn't even change the numbers of, like, if we let in 100,000 Mexicans a year, like, let in 100,000 Mexicans a year, just change the quality of the applicant. Make the, you know, say 100,000 Mexicans, but you can't have been in the U.S. illegally, and you can't have a criminal record.
So what is the end goal? Why aren't they allowing it?
Truly, they want to change the demographics of the United States.
They really do.
Because, I mean, no, honestly, the people from Nebraska, like my family's entire, like, Americans that have, my family's been in the United States for 400 years. Traditional standard Americans are not leftists. Latin America's all leftists. And it's just... It literally is. It's just to try...
There it is, folks, from the State Department themselves, changing the demographics because migrants are all leftists and Americans aren't.
listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, folks. So a lot to talk about in today's episode of The War Room. Infowars.com, band.video. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Reminder, we've got a few hours now. It'll be 8 hours. Don't waste it. Till midnight tonight to get 60% off absolutely everything at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Let's talk about Venezuela now. We'll get into the Venezuela conflict. I'm sort of torn on this a little bit. I think, personally, I don't agree with what Trump is doing. I don't believe the reasoning that's being given for why these things are being done. I just don't. And I'll give you my reason for why that is. At the same time, I think they're using it, and I think they're setting up Pete Hegseth and others to be ousted. Now, remember, they have been trying to oust Pete Hegseth since the beginning of the second Trump administration. We've covered it relentlessly. What was the Signalgate scandal all about? Remember, they were trying to get Hegseth to resign because of that, when the chats were leaked to the Atlantic editor, and he published them. And parts of that they were trying to claim were in violation of international law and war crimes, and Pete Hegseth has to step down for that. They just don't want Pete Hegseth in that position. So it seems like at least part of what they're doing is luring him down the primrose path, saying, no, it's fine. Yeah, you order it and we'll do it. And then they're later going to turn around and go, oh, actually, that was illegal. Actually, you're a war criminal now. I don't trust the people advising Trump. I don't trust people advising Hegseth. I don't trust the reasoning that they're giving because it's not true. Okay, I'm sorry to say this. The boats that are being bombed do not have fentanyl. The vast majority of fentanyl is produced in Mexico. The illegal fentanyl that kills people in America, it's produced in Mexico with Chinese starters, you know, whatever the precursors are made in China. They make the fentanyl in Mexico. They cross over the border on land. They're not, those boats aren't even going to America. I think most of them are going to Nicaragua, if I'm not mistaken. And then it's mostly cocaine. So they're shipping cocaine to Nicaragua and we're bombing them out of the water. And it's been confirmed we've killed at least one innocent people. I think we've killed 83 people overall. And my question is just like, what is the point of this? What is the point of this? It's not, you know, that's not where the vast majority of the drugs are coming from. I really don't see it as a major threat to American security. There's like 10,000 other things I'd be doing with the American military if I had command. I don't remember him talking about going to war with Venezuela during the campaign. I just don't like it. And I especially don't like the normalization of this type of activity. I didn't like it when Barack Obama was drone striking American citizens in the Middle East, because that seems like a very severe escalation of the war powers granted to him by the Congress. And this seems like the same thing. Okay, if they're drug smugglers, they're drug smugglers. But then you just call them terrorists and now they're non-enemy combatants of some sort. They're non-professional combatants or whatever the designation is to allow them to be eradicated. Okay. Is that only because it's international waters? Or does that designation extend here? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Sackler family has killed more Americans with drugs than any Venezuelan ever has. Drone strike them. Drone strike the Sackler family who ran Purdue Pharmacy and created the opioid crisis. That is, in fact, the precursor to the fentanyl deaths, because they're prescribed these things. Because the Sackler family bribed doctors to overprescribe opioids to destroy Appalachia on purpose. So, like, drone strike them, I'm all for it. Some Venezuelan smuggler, who cares? Is it about normalizing this idea that the American government has an absolute right to just kill anybody they want because, trust us, they're bad guys? No evidence presented, no cross-examination of the evidence, just obliteration. Totally unnecessary. Like, even just financially, it's a ridiculous thing. How much are these missiles costing? Is it really worth millions of dollars to use whatever hellfire missiles they're firing? Some orbital launch station? Like, what? Against fishing boats or speedboats? Really? Okay. Would it not be more valuable, maybe, to arrest them? Once you blow up, like, one or two ships, can't you just send the rest a message? White House confirms Hegseth authorized second strike on drug boat. This is another thing where they're trying to claim this is like a double tap thing. That's not what it is. It's just thinking about it for 5 seconds makes the whole thing ridiculous. So I see all these posts on X now where people are like, yeah, you know, in the Army, if you shoot at a person and it doesn't kill him, you're not allowed to shoot at him again. Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. Obviously, you're allowed to hit the same target more than one time. What are you talking about? Like, imagine if that was the rule of war. It's like these people think that war is a playground game where it's like if you strike a bunker, then all of your enemies can just go to that burned out bunker and be like, we're on base. Wait a second. No, you're not allowed to strike us. You already struck this bunker. You can't strike it again. No, that's ridiculous. Obviously, you're allowed to strike it twice. Like, that's the thing. Those types of objections are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. Of course, you're allowed to strike a target more than once in war. What? That's ridiculous. Now, the second strike thing is when you strike a target and then you wait for emergency response to come and then you kill the medics on purpose, like Israel does over and over. You know, like Israel got caught doing a month ago, bombing a place and then waiting for the ambulances to come and then bombing the medics that arrive. That is, in fact, a war crime. That's the double tap that's actually illegal in international law and, you know, seen as a major violation of just the laws of war. Lawmakers suggest follow-up boat strike could be a war crime. Okay, but it's not. So thanks for your suggestion. But of course, this is contributing to and in line with and in collaboration with the Mark Kellys and the Seditious Six claiming that you have to say no to so-called illegal orders. Now they're saying these orders are illegal. These orders aren't illegal, and you don't have a right to say no to illegal orders unless and only if they are prima facie, clearly and without speculation or subjectivity, totally illegal, like raping prisoners or murdering a bunch of innocent people. It's obviously not illegal. That being said, I think it's stupid. I think it's this is the thing. We've got whatever. You know the problems that we have. I mean, just absolutely every. I mean, we've got illegal immigrants still absolutely everywhere. The New York City basically is in total revolt, attacking ICE to this insane degree. So we're still having all these attacks on ICE facilities. We're still, I mean, the education has collapsed. Everything is collapsing in America. And instead of doing anything about any of that stuff, we're going to war with Venezuela. Fine. Whatever. Do what you want. Blow up the boats. Who cares? Can we focus on the normal stuff? But now it's like this is dominating the headlines. Now, all these arguments are cropping up and all this division, all this chaos. And it's like, why are we even doing this? What is this? Why is so much energy, so much effort, so many resources going to arguing this thing that we shouldn't even really be doing and doesn't help us in the first place? Why is it that every headline today is about Pete Hegseth and bombing these boats and White House is standing by him? Now White House is throwing him under the bus. Actually, it wasn't him. He denies it, but it's legal and it's okay. And it's like, why is none of this is necessary? None of this is helping Americans. I don't buy any of it. Story after story, lawmakers suggest follow-up boat strike could be a crime. Trump, quote, wouldn't have wanted second strike on Caribbean boat survivors. Ex-president with whom Trump plans to pardon flooded America with cocaine. That's the other funny thing. He's literally pardoning a major, like, drug dealer. Hernandez, Juan Orlando Hernandez, who was a Honduran drug smuggler. He orchestrated a vast trafficking conspiracy that prosecutors said raked in millions for cartels while keeping Honduras one of America's Central America's poorest, most violent, corrupt countries. He was convicted on drug trafficking and weapons charges, sentenced to 45 years in prison, and now he's being pardoned, I guess, by Trump. Okay, so this is really about drug smuggling? I don't know. Are we going to use him now to go after the drug smugglers? This is ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. Trump reportedly gave Maduro an ultimatum to relinquish power in Venezuela. Trump backs Hegseth as Venezuelan boat strike scrutiny grows. Hegseth responds to report that boat survivors were killed as a result of his orders to military. Is U.S. President Donald Trump preparing to strike Venezuela? He declared the airspace closed. And so I look at this and I'm just like, what is this? Why is this the main focus? Why are we possibly committing? Like, why is it even a question? Why are we doing something that can be framed as a war crime? What is the necessity of this? What problem are we actually solving here? We're stopping cocaine being shipped from Venezuela to Nicaragua while the vast majority of fentanyl comes across the Mexican border, never gets on a boat unless it's the precursors being shipped from China to Mexico. Meanwhile, China is systematically destroying life in the oceans all around South America to the point where, like, literally they've killed like 40% of the coral reefs in their area, like actually, literally, irreversibly killing all of the life on planet Earth. And we're not doing anything about that. Not focused on that. No, we're blowing up Venezuelan boats. And so I look at this, and it's just one of those things that it beggars an explanation. You know, this wasn't a major concern during his campaign. They haven't made the case publicly that this has anything to do with election fraud or China or anything like that. It's all about the drugs, apparently, but the drug boats they're destroying aren't shipping fentanyl and aren't going to America. So that doesn't make any sense. So what's the real answer here? And like everything else that America does that is inexplicable or retarded or self-defeating, it's Israel. Remember, the deep state in America is the Israeli Jewish mafia. That's what it is. When we say deep state, that's what it is. That's who's pulling the strings, obviously. And so when you look at Venezuela, and you look at the way that we're going after it, and the timing of how this came about, I am almost positive what happened here is that there was this incredibly intense push to get Trump to go to war with Iran. Trump didn't want to, refused to, and was being pressured in a million different ways by all sorts of subversives in his own administration, like Mike Waltz, who was the one who leaked the signal chat to try to oust Pete Hegseth, leaked it to his fellow Zionist friend at the Atlantic Council. Like, they really wanted Trump to go after Iran. Trump really understood how that would absolutely destroy his support in America. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody's for it. And it did, which just wouldn't be survivable politically. So he's not going to do it. And it was around that time that we decided Venezuela was a major, you know, concern. Around exactly the same time that Israel was bombing Qatar, that all of the other periphery. So in other words, Israel really wanted us to go after Iran. We refused to do that. And so they said, okay, you're not going to do that. If all of our blackmail and all of our pressure campaigns won't get you to move any more than you have, you'll bomb Iran, but you won't go to full war with it. Well, then you have to help us take out the proxies around the world. If you're not going to help us take out Iran, then you have to help us take out Venezuela. You have to help us take out the Syrian Bashar al-Assad and that whole party. You have to help us take out Hezbollah, like all of these other Iranian allied groups suddenly became the target of attack by America at around the time that we refused to go to war with Iran. That's the timeline. It makes sense to me. And if you look at the history of Venezuela, it's obvious that their support of Palestine has been incredibly valuable to the Palestinian people and an incredible source of outrage for the Israelis. And to me, that explanation makes sense. Nothing else really does. You can tell me I'm wrong, but like, you know, we were talking to, even talking to, you know, people that are in the know about this. And it's like, well, where'd you get this information? They're like, well, Israel. And it's like, okay, they're lying to you. It's not that complicated. They want you to take out Venezuela, and they don't care why you take it out. They have their reasons, because Venezuela is allies with Iran. It's because Hezbollah gets drug money and, you know, takes some of the fuel profits from Venezuela to continue their war against Israel. So they want to take them out. That's not a very compelling reason for America to get into Venezuela in the minds of the American people. So you give them something else. I'll say it's about drugs then. Say it's about China. Say it's about Dominion voting systems. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They just want them taken out. Now, maybe there's some, you know, legitimacy to that. But I just don't buy it. I mean, we're going to go to war with Venezuela over the Dominion voting machines, but nobody in America has been arrested for it yet. Did everything operate out of it? It seems like if that was the case, they'd have to have somebody in America cooperating with them, right? Where are those arrests? What type of, you know, if this is really what it's about, what type of operation goes to war first before arresting the traitors inside America that helped carry this out? I don't buy it. I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. I don't buy the Trump minister. I don't believe the Trump administration when they say this stuff. And whether that's because the Trump administration themselves are lying or because they're being tricked by the Israelis, it's sort of, you know, tomato, tomato. It doesn't really matter. Same thing happened with Iran, where, again, you had Trump being told by his ODNI, the head, the national intelligence director at the top of all of the combined intelligence forces in America, saying one thing. And then Trump's just like, well, she's wrong. What? Wait, what? This is the combined knowledge of all of the intelligence agencies in America telling you one thing, but you're getting information from somewhere else. Gee, where could that be coming from? And of course, it's fake information. It's false information that leads us into bombing Iran and totally against our interests. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I just don't buy any of it. Now, Curse at Encore Salad on X laid this out pretty extensively. The president of the United States is deceiving the American people about why he's gearing up to decapitate the leadership of Venezuela. He's using helping Americans as a pretext to help Israel. The U.S. has wanted to install a puppet regime in Venezuela since at least 2007, when the U.S. began tracking aeroterror flights from Caracas to Tehran. These flights were initially referred to as ghost flights because there are missing cargo manifests, but U.S. investigators alleged they were smuggling drugs, money, gold, and military equipment for the Quds Force and Hezbollah. As evidence continued to mount, Obama launched Operation Cassandra in 2008 to investigate and prosecute members of Hezbollah involved in cocaine smuggling network operated out of Venezuela and Colombia. U.S. officials believe this operation was helping to fund Hezbollah's effort to rebuild southern Lebanon after Israel bombed it for a full month in 2006 with cluster bombs. Obama eventually deprioritized Operation Cassandra in order to secure the JCPOA nuclear treaty with Iran. U.S. officials with the DEA claimed Hezbollah continued to smuggle cocaine into Europe, West Africa, and the U.S. after the JCPOA was signed. The agents involved with Operation Cassandra were eventually reassigned, but as soon as Trump started his first term, he began consulting with them again about Hezbollah's activities in Venezuela. During his first term, he also hired coup master neocon Jew Elliot Abrams and assigned him to Venezuela, which was an obvious signal that Trump wanted Maduro gone. Operation Cassandra agents claimed Hezbollah was selling cocaine in the U.S., Europe, and West Africa using drug revenue to buy and sell used cars and then laundering the money through a Lebanese bank in Canada. A few days ago, Trump designated Venezuelan drug network Cartel de las Solas a terrorist organization and claimed they're being abetted by top government officials, including Venezuela's own President Maduro. Trump has long suspected Venezuela's government of being involved in Hezbollah's drug smuggling operation, as evidenced by sanctions he placed on Venezuela's vice president, Tariq El Asami, in 2017 on the grounds that he was a drug kingpin involved with Hezbollah. Even if this were all true, Venezuela's drug production and drug trafficking into the U.S. pales in comparison to Mexico, Colombia, Peru, etc. It would be more beneficial to Americans if Trump focused on the southern border, the main route of drugs entering the United States, mostly via Mexican transnational criminal organizations. But that would leave routes to Europe and West Africa open for Hezbollah, which betrays the actual goal of this operation, to stop Hezbollah from rebuilding Lebanon again, like they had to do after the 2006 bombing. So Trump has positioned the U.S. military off the coast of Venezuela instead of the southern border to stop all drug trafficking and cut off the stream of funds for Hezbollah entirely. The rationale behind Trump's campaign against Venezuela has more to do with Israel than it does with America. Now, that all makes perfect sense to me. That all aligns. That all clicks. It all clicks together. And I know, I think Alex has number one response to this. He says Trump is not going in under Operation Cassandra. It's because of Venezuela being the hub of election fraud against the United States. Again, I haven't heard Trump ever say that. The reason Trump is saying is because of drugs. That doesn't, but that's can't really be the case, as laid out before. So, I mean, if it's about election fraud, why doesn't he say that? Why haven't there been arrests in America? I don't know. I don't like it. What is this? So, again, I just don't buy it. And you've got all these articles. This is from July of 2024. Solidarity from Palestine to Venezuela. Meet the Palestinians observing Venezuela's elections. President Nicolas Maduro won a third term in office on Sunday, promising to continue and deepen Venezuela's anti-imperialist Bolivarian revolution. Many in the U.S. quickly denounced the elections as a sham provided over by a dictatorship. Yet the proceedings were presided over by more than 900 electoral observers from over 100 countries, including the state of Palestine. Mint Press News talked to several Palestinians who observed Venezuela's election and in the process uncovered tremendous and profound links of solidarity between the two nations, whose peoples and struggles are closer than they might appear at first. You also have this from July of 2024. Venezuela, while U.S. politicians call fraud, American election observers endorse the results. And again, it's like, okay, in 2020, our election was stolen by the State Department. And maybe the best example, best evidence of this is that they then unrolled exactly the same strategy in Bolivia. Our State Department, our CIA, send people down to Bolivia. I mean, not Bolivia, to Brazil, rather. They send people down to Brazil to rig the election against Bolsonaro in exactly the same way it was rigged against Trump. And then they had a January 6th false flag assault on the government buildings and threw everybody in prison for that. They literally ran point by point, beat by beat, exactly the same operation. They ran here. They ran in Brazil. And they bragged about it. We read articles about it from the Financial Times explaining the State Department went down to Brazil to help secure their elections. And they just committed fraud in exactly the same way that they did here. So it's like, okay, if it was Venezuela that did that, why did our State Department do the same thing they did here in Brazil? It doesn't make any sense. I think we're being lied to. It's not that complicated. I think this has a hell of a lot more to do with America's endless support of Israel and willingness to do whatever Israel wants and take the blame for it and come up with excuses for why we're doing it. It's the same thing over and over, whether it's TikTok or ousting the Harvard president or going to war with Venezuela. They'll give you 10 different reasons why they're doing it when the truth is it's about Israel. 100% every single time. So again, it's like, maybe it's not the case. Maybe I'm just paranoid because everything else is this way. But I cannot co-sign or support blowing random boats out of the water with hellfire missiles because they might be transporting cocaine from Nicaragua to from Venezuela to Nicaragua. This is ridiculous. And I don't like it, and I don't trust it. And I don't support it. And I'm not for the regime change war. I don't even know if it's going to happen. It's retarded.
Right now, this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, store-wide, 60% off on all the supplements, all the t-shirts, all the Patriot apparel at TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've never done something like this. I mean, most of the t-shirts break even at that price because when they're an XXL or so, it's nice fabric, nice printing, and they're costing us like $15 a piece. So if you get a small, we make some money. I mean, that is such a deal. The ball caps, that is such a great deal. the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. But when it comes to the supplements, the ultramethylene blue liquid, the capsules, the ultimate CMOS, the most powerful turmeric, the very best bovine colostrum, it's all there. 60% off. And look at these new hats that came in. Amazing. You've got Patriot. It's got the great, thick, nice, popular style, leather style decals. On the apparel, usually, it's about 60% we make when it's not on sale. Well, when it's 60% off, do the math, because we talked about it. But we want to just flood the zone, do your Christmas shopping early, thealexjonesstore.com. But I'm telling you, you want to get immediate health effects and just vitality and energy. You want to see how great the products are. Get the Shilajit, get the Irish Sea Moss, and get the Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com. You've got less than 3 days.
Through the annals of time, beneath the clashing swords and roaring cannons, there raged another war, unseen yet all-encompassing, the Infowar. From the whispered conspiracies of ancient courts to the fiery proclamations of revolutions, it was there. When the flames of heresy consumed the thinkers of old, it was there. When tyrants rose on the lies of propaganda and empires crumbled beneath the truth they couldn't silence, it was there. The Infowar marched alongside the armies of men. The battle was not just for land or power.
But these colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states.
But for the hearts and minds and souls of those caught in its wake. More now than ever, the war rages on. Nations crumble, ideologies clash, and voices rise in defiance. For the battlefield of the Infowar is everywhere, and everyone is a soldier. Truth is your weapon. Through every conflict, every uprising, and every moment of human struggle, the Infowar was always there. Which side are you on? This is the fight for humanity. This is Infowars.
Well, barring a miracle, Infowars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the Infowar lives on. But InfowarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the Infowar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfowarsStore.com. But don't worry, the Infowar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfowarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfowarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Christmas is right around the corner, folks. It's going to be here before you know it. Make sure you're not running around the mall trying to do all your shopping Christmas Eve. Go today to thealexjonesstore.com. Presents for all the info warriors in your life. And 60% off every single product on the entire site. That means t-shirts. I don't know what that was. I wasn't looking up. I looked up and saw something very creepy. We'll never play that again as long as you go to thealexjonesstore.com today. Cyber Monday, 60% off the entire store. I'm telling you, folks, I was like you one time. Before I worked at InfoWars, I'd go to InfoWars store. I'd fill up the cart with stuff that looked awesome that I really wanted. It was very rare I ever went, you know, let's do it. Just do it, hit the order button, and then wait for the arrival. I bought a few t-shirts, and it was always when Alex was out on the road, you know, doing something, and I was just going, you know, I got to support this guy. Even, you know, no matter what, it's like, he's me. He is my avatar in the real world. He's taking a bullhorn and yelling at the people I hate, and he's telling them exactly what I think. I got to support this guy. And so I hope we can get back to more of that once the bankruptcy dragon is off our back, and we plan to. But we continue to be the world leaders in information and shattering the paradigm of control that the New World Order is trying to saddle us with. And I just so greatly appreciate the ability to cover this stuff, even when I disagree with Alex. Alex, you know, he's, you know, if you listen to him, he can speak for himself. I don't need to speak for him. But, you know, he's like, this is all legal. And I think it is. I think legally Trump has the ability to do this. I think the most of the objections from the left are nonsensical and kind of ridiculous and just go along with the attempts by the seditious six to foment dissatisfaction in the ranks and to encourage, you know, ignoring orders. I think that's all ridiculous. I think, you know, the idea that you're not allowed to hit a target twice, that's just absurd to the highest degree. It's all nonsense, but I wish we didn't have to talk about it at all because I just don't like the whole thing happening. I'm just not for it. I'm just against it, and I'm suspicious of the reasoning. And I personally, I just think it's more credit to Alex that I can disagree with that. And I'm not, you know, being given dictates from on high, even though I respect and I appreciate Alex's view, obviously. And as I've always said, usually if I disagree with Alex about something, I'm not sitting there going, oh, Alex is wrong. I know better than him. I'm more like, well, what am I missing here? What is this all about? And hell, maybe it is, you know, part of a much larger sort of geopolitical chess game that's going on to try to oust China and Russia from infiltrating into the southern regions. Like, that might be the case. But however, I can't help but see parallels with this and with the Russian war in Ukraine, where it's like, okay, if I actually wanted what was best for America, I certainly wouldn't drive Russia into the arms of China. That's not what I would do. But our sanctions on Russia have had that exact effect. If I didn't want China making inroads into Central and South America, I probably wouldn't have put sanctions on Venezuela in 2017 that helped collapse their economy and led to China forgiving something like $60 billion in debt and aligning themselves ever closer to Venezuela. Like, we keep doing these things and they keep backfiring. They keep having the opposite consequence of what we want. And I think the same thing's going to happen in Venezuela. And I think the leadership in Venezuela is telling their people, we represent you, we're fighting for you, and here come these imperialistic foreigners parking a aircraft carrier off our shores, menacing and threatening me, your beloved champion, right? That's what Maduro's telling his people. And frankly, they've got all the proof right there. So I don't understand how this is. I don't think it is weakening Maduro. I think if anything, it's probably strengthening him. And I don't think a invasion of Venezuela is going to go smoothly if that's what's on the table. I think it's going to result in a lot of bloodshed and a lot of death and probably a lot more displaced people coming to America. Why are we doing this again? I just don't get it. I don't agree with it. But I guess we're doing it. I guess that's just what we're doing. And that's what everybody's talking about constantly now. We're not talking about the actual threats to America. We're not talking about the collapse of our demographics as designed by the people who destroyed our immigration system. We're not getting the mass deportations required of all of this. I just don't see it. I don't see the priority. I don't see the reasoning for the priority of this. But oh well, I guess it's just what it is. And again, the frustration is the unwillingness of the Republicans to do anything. You know, I think Trump does have the right instincts. I think the Truth Social posts he put out show that he wants more action being done, but it's not being done. Nothing is happening. James Comey and Letitia James aren't even indicted anymore. That's been reversed. Now Alina Habba is, you know, being stripped of her role in New Jersey by some judge. The judges are just tearing apart absolutely everything Trump is trying to do, even though I don't think they have any standing. In fact, didn't we have a Supreme Court decision said they don't have any standing to stop, you know, nationwide orders from Trump? I mean, it just keeps going on and on. And at a certain point, We just have to do the necessary thing. Even when it's going to make people mad, even if it's going to cause outrage, you just have to do it. Because things are spiraling still out of control. Nothing is being reined in. Nothing. Again, I'm not trying to blackpill, but like I said, this is a war we have to win. So what are we doing? Trump's approval is cratering. It's the lowest it's ever been. He came into office with his political credit card had no limit. He had so much political capital. He had spent the entirety of the 2024 campaign becoming more and more extreme. He never moderated his message. He didn't get into office saying, well, the first time I was extreme, but now I'm going to step things back. No, he doubled down on absolutely everything, and he got more votes than ever before. He won the popular vote in addition to the Electoral College vote. He had the Congress and the Senate. I say had because it feels like it's over already. Feels like if nothing has happened by this point, nothing's going to happen. I'd love to prove me wrong. Please, please prove me wrong. I would love to be sitting here a year from now and going, gee, was I incorrect? Republicans swept the midterms and all the Democrats are in prison and the traffic is lower because all the deportations have happened. I would just love to be proven wrong. I don't see it happening anytime soon, or at all for that matter. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this other than we just have to do what is necessary. I mean, you would think by now, 11 months into the administration, there'd be some effective strategic update to allow ICE to deport illegals without being stopped by a bunch of shrieking liberal women, but that's not the case. Now, the crowds are getting bigger. The interference of ICE and going out and physically attacking them or stopping their cars is only increasing. You want to see the latest? This is from this weekend in New York City. Do we have that? Guys, it's just the chaos of the ICE tries to go out. Clip number 12 here. This is what it's like in New York right now. This is, an ICE vehicle trying to drive some lady in a mask, trying to stop him. Like, I don't understand. I really don't understand. If somebody robs a bank and then I throw myself in front of a cop car that's trying to arrest them, they arrest me, right? Isn't that what happens? If you interfere with an arrest, you then get thrown into prison. Why are these people not being arrested? Why are they not being thrown into prison? Every single one of them. What is going on here? I'm telling you, it just goes on. So it's only getting worse. ICE is only getting more interfered with. What are we doing? So, okay, the trajectory is more and more ICE interference, more and more protest, more and more people, surrounding ICE vehicles and attacking them. This is just this weekend. They look exactly the same, very similar to what was happening in LA 10 months ago. Apparently nothing has changed. No update to the strategy, no attempt to arrest these people, no attempt to destroy the communication networks that they all use to coordinate their actions. So, I mean, I genuinely don't understand. What other, who do we need to get in there who can take this seriously? We are at war here, folks. And maybe the biggest irony is that, anytime you bring up war with Iran, people try to get... one of the only justifications people have is, well, they chant death to America. Okay, so if they chant death to America, we should drop a nuclear bomb on them. We should invade their country and destroy it. We have communities in America chanting death to America. And they're given billions of dollars by USAID. and they're settled here specifically by our government. They're flown in from God knows where, parts unknown, in the third world to our country, given, granted, entire congressional districts, and they still chant death to America, and we can't do anything about it, but we can go to war with Iran because a different country chants death. Like, this is what I mean when I can't take any of this stuff seriously. New Yorkers appear to foil ICE raid before it begins. For the second time in just over a month, a large-scale raid by dozens of immigration agents in New York City was met with a similarly large-scale counter-protest. This time, however, the protesters thwarted the authorities' plans before they even began. Multiple arrests were made on Saturday during scuffles at the edge of Chinatown, during which hundreds of protesters faced off with federal agents, eventually supported by the New York Police Department as they prepared to launch a raid in the area. It comes just a month after a raid by 50 federal agents using military-style vehicles stormed nearby Canal Street in Lower Manhattan and was met with the protest of hundreds in response. And by the way, now Canal Street is again filled with illegal immigrants hawking stolen or fraudulent goods because they didn't actually clear out anybody. Confrontation also comes amid a reported surge in activity by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in the city in recent weeks, despite a friendly encounter between Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani and President Donald Trump earlier this month that appeared to avert a shutdown over the issue, a showdown over the issue. Which again, you know, we told you this. He's like, oh, yeah, well, Mamdani wants these people kicked out, too. No, he doesn't. What are you talking about? And it's just like all this stuff. There's so many things over this week that, you know, again, because I wasn't really like paying close attention to it, I would just see a headline. It was just like, yeah, right. Right. It's like Trump vows to freeze migration from third world countries after DC attack. Did he? Did that happen? I don't think so. I don't know. Did it? I mean, he announced it. Did it happen? No, it didn't happen. No, I don't think so. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Thursday his administration will permanently pause migration from all third world countries following the death of a National Guard member from an attack near the White House. The comment marks a further escalation of migration measures Trump has ordered since the shooting on Wednesday that investigators say was carried out by an Afghan national who entered the U.S. in 2021 under a resettlement program that, of course, was supported by Republicans and Democrats. And in fact, some of the people pushing for that most were people like Ipatch McCain and Lindsey Graham. Trump did not identify any countries by name or explain what he meant by third world countries or permanently pause. He said that the plan would include cases under former President Joe Biden's administration. I will permanently pause migration from all third world countries to allow the U.S. system to fully recover, terminate all the millions of Biden illegal admissions, including those signed by Sleepy Joe Biden's auto pin, and remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States. Okay, has that happened? Is he doing that? What does third world mean? For people that don't know, third world is a holdover from the Cold War. It doesn't just mean a poor country. It's supposed to mean a country that's not aligned with capitalism or communism. It just kind of became this catch-all term for developing countries. But it comes from you were first world if you were in Western Europe or America. You were second world if you were USSR or supported by them. And you were third world if you were an African country that was being pulled from both directions. So even that, it's like, what does it even mean third world? Because that doesn't mean India. India is not third world. So are we still getting immigrants from there? Like, what does that even mean? And is it happening? I don't think so. Okay, so he says another thing where he's like, all the Biden auto pin stuff is null and void. Okay, so what's happening? Okay, so Anthony Fauci's being arrested. Hunter Biden's being arrested because the auto pin pre-whatever pardons aren't valid. So now they're being arrested, right? No, they're not? Okay. All the orders, Biden and the immigrants coming over, those have all been eviscerated. So now that's all being undone. Like, just time and again over the last week, there's been like six things where, you know, Trump comes out and makes a statement, and I just have to roll my eyes because it's just like, that's just not happening. I don't know why he's even making these statements. It's not happening. So what are we doing? It doesn't make any sense. Right? I mean, has that happened? So they undid all of the auto pin stuff. So everything by, I mean, 98% of things signed were by his auto pin. So has all of that been reversed? Is it all being undone? What does that even look like? What does that mean? Which ones are being undone? None of them? It's just another statement that doesn't mean anything? Okay, great. He's ending a temporary protected status. I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. I just don't, you like, if all of these things were happening, I'd be extremely happy. I'd be thrilled. All the auto pin pardons were undone and all those people were being arrested. I'd be over the moon. If he ended temporary protected status for the Somalians or the Afghans, and the next day, 50% of them were loaded onto planes and sent back to the country, I would be tap dancing across the desk. None of it's happening. It's not happening. I think they're lying to us. I think they're stringing us along. Am I wrong? I mean, what actually is happening? The Seditious Six are not only still out there, they're going on TV and doubling down on their statements, challenging Trump to arrest him. It's so baffling to me. The Mark Kelly guy is the best example. I know they're going over this on Alex's show, where it's like he is still in uniform. He is still under the jurisdiction of military courts. If I had come back from a week vacation and seen that Mark Kelly had been subjected to a military tribunal and thrown into prison, I would be weeping in joy. It'd be so thrilling. It's been a month since they made this video, and nothing is happening. Nothing has happened to them. And I'm pretty confident saying nothing will ever happen to them. Is that not infuriating to anybody else? It's not a speculation. It's not like I've read the code 100 times on this show. They absolutely 100% broke the law in making that video. Do we have to have their permission? Do they have to agree to that? I just don't get it. I really don't. There's a story over the weekend of some bar in Idaho. The police raid it and arrest like 283 kids, 18-year-olds drinking alcohol. And it's like, okay, what was the process to get that going? Somebody called the cops and said, we think there's a crime being committed. Police went and investigated, saw that it was happening, so then they arrested everybody there. How is that not just what's happening with all of these treasonous people? They broke the law. What are we doing? They've rigged the election. They've divided this country over and over again on their just flagrant deception. And it's just like, what are the laws anymore? What does anything mean? So drinking as an 18-year-old, full court press, 100 cops slamming you to the ground and dragging you away. You commit open treason and nothing happens. You flood this country with 50 million people and you get the Medal of Honor. You get the Presidential Medal of Freedom put around your neck. And it's like, we don't even need it. It's so weird because as a sovereign nation with a native population of actual Americans, we don't need a single excuse to withdraw temporary protected status or immigration. It could literally be just because the president doesn't like the way they look. Those Somalis, they got weird head shapes. Yeah, I'm kicking all of them out. We don't need an excuse. But instead, we're given excuse after excuse after excuse, reason after reason after reason. Massive, just unrelenting fraud. Not just fraud, debasing Medicaid and just exploiting the American taxpayer to the maximum degree. They then send that money to a terrorist group in Somalia. I mean, it's like, and we can't just deport all of them? What are we talking about? We don't even need a reason to. We could do it. And the whole thing is temporary protected. It's supposed to be temporary. It's in the name. It's supposed to be withdrawn at a certain point. We don't need an excuse. We don't need a reason. It's just like you don't need a reason to kick somebody out of your house. If they don't live there, you can kick them out for whatever. You don't have to have a reason. But somehow, we get reason after reason after reason after reason after reason, and we just don't do anything about it. Again, it's just, it's infuriating. Minnesota scandal explodes. 480 DHS employees accused Governor Tim Walz of orchestrating a massive cover-up, retaliated against whistleblowers to shield Somali immigrant fraud ring that stole over a billion dollars. Tim Walz is under fire after employees at the Minnesota Department of Human Services issued a bombshell statement accusing the far-left governor of orchestrating a sweeping cover-up to shield a sprawling Somali immigrant fraud ring that stole more than $1 billion in taxpayer funds and punishing whistleblowers who tried to stop it. According to DHS insiders, Walz not only ignored early warnings, but actively retaliated against agency employees who sounded the alarm. They now accuse his administration of using political intimidation, monitoring threats, and agency manipulation to suppress evidence and silence witnesses. As Gateway Pundit reported, 70 members of the Somali community in Minnesota were involved in stealing $250 million in COVID funds that were intended to feed children. Millions of dollars were stolen from American taxpayers and sent overseas to Somalia, and 80% of the money has never been recovered. Seven defendants were tried in connection to the scheme on charges related to stealing more than $40 million in taxpayer funds, and five were found guilty. However, the FBI is still investigating an attempt by a Somali woman to bribe one of the jurors with $120,000 in cash. And the fraud extends deeper, with multiple schemes of this nature occurring over the last 5 years and supported and covered up by Tim Walz. And it's just like, okay, so what are we doing? So Trump has announced he's removing temporary protected status. So now all of them are going back, right? All of the Somalis are being sent back. And Tim Walz is being thrown in jail for his participation in the fraud. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work, right? I mean, it's one thing, like, if the cops are investigating a murder and I hide the murder weapon, I'm going to jail when they catch me, right? Now, what happens if the police themselves cover it up? What happens when it's exposed that the very people we have empowered with the authority to protect us are instead engaged in the criminality? Are they allowed to get away with it, or is the punishment even worse? It should be even worse because they're in a position of trust. They've taken an oath. When they break that oath, something should happen to them. So again, it's, you know, it's frustrating because we see the attack from every angle. We see our quality of life being diminished in every possible way. And the solution that everybody seems desperate for is literally just enforce the law. Could not be more simple, could not be more direct, could not be easier, could not be more righteous. Just enforce the law and none of these problems would exist. Instead, we have to endlessly debate over these people that shouldn't even be here. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.